11, verse number 1, and I started with this last Wednesday night, and I'm going to add to it on the main scripture that we read, Luke chapter 11. Tonight's message is the Kaleidoscope of Prayer, part 2. And so this is actually a series that I'm going to be doing on my part of prayer on the Kaleidoscope of Prayer and the many nuances, the many shades, the many forms, the many patterns, the many approaches. When you think of a kaleidoscope, you think of so many different colors and so many different things all together, and it's indescribable a little bit. And if you've never really seen one, you say, well, what is a kaleidoscope? I've never really seen one. And the thing about prayer is, it's, as Pastor says, it's more caught than taught, but there are shades and nuances to it. And so look at Luke chapter 11, verse 1. If you're there, say amen. And it came to pass that as he was praying in a certain place, and that's one of the shades of prayer, is having a place to pray, a certain place. We'll get to that later on. And when he ceased, one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray as John taught his disciples to pray. And as our pastor has pointed out, he did. They asked to teach us to pray. In other words, to do it. And some prayer is better than no prayer. Just do it. To do it. And there's also the other part of how to do it. Because then he answered that in verse 2. And he said unto them, when you pray, here's how to do it. Say our, now, before I read this, we are most accustomed to the Lord's Prayer, the disciples' prayer, and the Matthew version. We forget there's one in the Luke's version. And so it's just a tad different, but very much the same. And he said unto them, when you pray, say, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done as in heaven, so in earth. Give us day by day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, as we forgive everyone that is indebted to us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Now Matthew's gospel adds, for thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, forever and ever. And everybody said amen. And Father, tonight anoint the reading of your word and give us a heart of prayer. Help us, Lord, to go deeper than we've ever gone, higher than we've ever been, further than we've ever walked in our spiritual walk. And we pray, God, that you would just unfold to us the kaleidoscope of prayer over the next few weeks. For we know that troublesome times are ahead. And Lord, you will prepare us by calling us to prayer. And we give you the praise for it tonight in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. And everybody said amen. So I had last Wednesday night handed out the wheel, the hour that changes the world. Was anybody not here last Wednesday night? Anybody? Sister Christine, Sister Jane, Brother Elam, would you mind handing these to? And what's not handed out tonight, if you just put it at the welcome desk, that would be great. So, and if you don't have yours tonight, raise your hand. We'll give you another one. Paper's only 0.03 cents per copy. So I think we can absorb that expense. Amen. Praise God. But what I mentioned last Wednesday night, and I'm just going to touch it because I don't want to go back and re-preach what I preached last Wednesday night. But Dick Eastman wrote a book called The Hour That Changes the World back in the mid-'80s. And right now he's doing a campaign called 7:44. And so at 7:44 in the morning and at 7:14 in the morning and 7:14 in the evening, he is calling people to take a few minutes to pray for the election, pray for our country. And of course, we're basing that on 2 Chronicles 7:14. If my people, which are called by my name, blah, 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 blah. So at 7:14 in the morning and at 7:14, I have not started that routine yet. We've just had so much going on. But that is something I think is very good and that I'm going to aspire to. And that's one of the kaleidoscopes of prayer. That's one of the aspects of prayer. And that's a prayer, a pattern of prayer or a season of prayer. But he lists these 10 sections, praise and worship. So start out 5 minutes of praise and worship, 5 minutes of just waiting upon the Lord, 5 minutes confessing your sins, 5 minutes of praying scripture, 5 minutes of interceding for others, 5 minutes of asking personal petitions, 5 minutes of thanksgiving, 5 minutes of singing. People don't think of singing as prayer, but when you walk around the house and you're singing, that's a form of incense. That's a form of worship. It's a form of prayer. And we read the Psalms, but the Psalms were not originally given as books or as poems. They were given as songs. And so that's a fascinating thing about Psalms. And the book of Psalms is divided into five parts, and it's a journey up to the hill of God. You can read that in the book of Psalms, and that's for another series. But thanksgiving and song, and then closing out with meditation. And he does that. That is not to say that you should do that. And that's not to say that you've got to do an hour like he suggested. I will tell you, there are times when I've set aside to pray an hour. In fact, when I was in full-time ministry, for 20 years, I was full-time pastor. My pattern was on a normal day to pray the first hour. To spend, like, if I got to the office at 9, from 9 to 10 would just be spent praying, because my most important duty as a pastor is prayer. And in prayer, I can, you know, get the mind of God. I can hear from the Lord and bathe everything that's done in prayer. Now, I can't tell you that I did that 100% of the time. And I can't tell you that I was always, I had thought if I prayed an hour every day, I'd be some spiritual giant, and I would just, my face would glow, and I would walk around and just give utterances straight from the throne of God. And I realized that I could pray an hour a day, and by 3 o'clock in the afternoon, I'd have to pray some more. Come on now. So really, as a full-time pastor, I just felt like that was my duty. Now, as an associate pastor, I try to do 30 minutes because I've got other obligations and duties. But don't get locked down to a time frame. You really don't need to sit there and look at your clock and say, got 3 minutes. Oh, God, oh, God, oh, God. You know, you don't really need to do that. But we are creatures of time. God has given us the gift of time. And I remember in college at East Carolina University, and remember, I didn't go to Bible school. I went to East Carolina. Pastor Jerry went to Atlantic Christian, but it wasn't a secular Christian education. It was still a secular education that he pursued. And, of course, now it's a more of a secular college. But I remember that they taught us time management, and they said, you've got more time than you realize. And I didn't believe them. I didn't have time to study and have time to this. And so you map out 168 hours. Does anybody know what 168 hours is? That's a full week. 167 times 24 is 168. And so go ahead and just say 8 hours. You're going to sleep 8 hours times 7. So that's 56 hours. So 168 minus 56. I didn't do the math, but that left you whatever. Whatever was the difference. Some of you quick mathematicians, help me out here. 168 minus 50 is 108 minus 6. I guess that's 102 hours. All right. So let's just say that's correct. It may not be, but 102 hours. And then let's take an hour for eating or cooking or whatever. But at the end of that, you would take like these big chunks of time for stuff you knew it wouldn't take that long, and you still wound up having like 20 or 30 hours to do anything you wanted to do. And it's amazing that how time, we are creatures of time, and it's amazing how we can let time slip through our fingers. And the old song says, take time to be holy. Brother Bird used to teach me that, take time to be holy. So understand that You can pray an hour, and you can pray 30 minutes, or you can pray half of a second. I'm not telling you one is right and one is wrong, but there is a thing called seasons of prayer. Now, I'm going to mention that in just a moment, but I thought about this quote here, that prayer, this is a quote from A.W. Tozer, prayer among evangelical Christians is always in danger of degenerating into a glorified gold rush. Almost every book on prayer deals mainly with the get element. How to get things we want from God occupies most of our space. Christians should never forget that the highest kind of prayer is never the making of request. Prayer at its holiest moment is the entering into God to a place of such blessed union as makes miracles seem tame and remarkable answers to prayer appear something very far short of wonderful by comparison. We should be aware that there is a kind of school where the soul must go to learn its best eternal lessons. It is a school of silence. Be still and know, said the psalmist in Psalm 46:10. It might well be a revelation to some Christians if they were to get completely quiet for a time to listen in the silence for the deep voice of the eternal God. Woo, that is what I'm talking about. What this little paragraph is the whole gist of what I'm trying to teach over on these Wednesday nights. It's not just get. Oh, God, help me. And I don't know what to pray. I don't know what to say. And have you ever thought that? Have you ever heard people say that? Well, you know, after a few minutes, I've done prayed all I know to pray. Well, the thing is, you haven't learned different aspects of prayer that will extend your time of prayer. And how many of you believe that more prayer and more time in prayer and is a better way to get closer to God? Amen. And how many of you know we need to get close to God? We need to pray about our praying. Amen. We need to look at our prayer life. We talk about our health. We talk about exercise. We talk about, you know, make sure we're on medications. Make sure that, you know, we've got education for our children. Make sure that we care for our grandkids, you know, be with them and things like that. But do we think about our prayer life? Do we really, really say, Lord, over the next few months, as I go into the fall of this year, what can I do to spend more time with you and more quality time with you? Because he wants to think that the God of the universe wants to spend time with me. That blows my mind. And as much as I love President Trump and I'm behind him 100%, I can't go see President Trump. Even, I don't know if I'd made a big donation, I still would have a rare chance to see him. It's not that he's not unkind. It's not that he wouldn't want to see me. He just is not able to see the multitudes of people that would love to spend at least 5 minutes with him. He just can't do it. But there's somebody higher than the president. His name is God Jehovah, the one who created the heavens and the earth, the one that makes a way out of no way, that gives strength to the weary, and they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall walk and not faint, and they shall run and not be weary. So let me just kind of hit a few more highlights I did last week. I want to hit a few more this week, and then we're going to jump into it. Can you say amen tonight? So I'm going to interject two things here that's not on my notes, but it came to me just fresh, and that is seasons of prayer. Somebody say seasons of prayer. So this kind of ties in what I was talking about with time. So seasons of prayer. This is when you look at your calendar and you think about the needs and things that are going on, and you say, for X amount of time or X amount of days or X amount of months or whatever, I'm going to spend time in focused prayer. It is a calendar thing. It is a season of prayer. So, a personal example. And again, I shy away from giving a lot of personal examples because it's not about me. And it's not about my holiness or how great I am, because I'm just very much flesh and blood. But a couple of times a year, or in the last, well, in August, let's just get specific, okay? In August, so I said, I just told the Lord, I said, I'm going to spend 21 consecutive days in prayer. Now, not the whole day, not an hour every day, but 30 minutes every single day for 21 days in a row. Do you have to pray 21 days in a row to go to heaven? Do you have to pray 30 minutes to really hear God, or for God to hear your prayers? No, this is just for my benefit. It's not that God, it's not that God is coming closer to me. It's that I'm going to get closer to God. Amen. And so in August, every day, and you would be surprised on a few of those days where it was highly challenging to find 30 minutes to pray. And I praise God, I did it. Give God the glory. Now, this doesn't need to be a legalistic thing. If something really crazy happened, God would understand. But it was a season of prayer. 21 days. So in my prayer journal, that's something I'm going to hit on a little bit later, prayer journal. But in my prayer journal, you had 21 consecutive days, the time I prayed, the psalm that I prayed through, and notes that I felt like the Lord spoke to my heart. Now, that's me. Now, I'll give you another example of a season of prayer. It's in January when we do fasting and prayer. That's 21 days we've set aside to fast. Fasting is a part of prayer, maybe even a form of prayer. But that's a season of prayer. The Friday night prayer meeting, that is a season of prayer. So it's 7 o'clock on Friday nights. As we're able to, and as time permits, somebody will be here. Like this Friday night, we've got a funeral going on, so certainly we understand that. But Friday nights, our pastor for decades, 20-some years, Friday night. I remember he would tell me about his Friday night prayer meeting back when I was pastoring over here. And then when I went down to Kinston, I was pastoring here, and then I resigned here. And I went to take a church in Kinston, and Pastor Jerry had come over to Westmoreland on Nash Street. And so Pastor Jerry would come down to Kinston a lot and preach for me down there and hold revivals, and the choir would come and sing. It's just amazing how our lives have been intertwined for so many years. And, you know, I thought about God made me Ricky Nelms and he made him Jerry Nelson, you know, in the conference minutes, there's three names in a row is, Danny Nelson, Jerry Nelson, Ricky Nelms. I mean, it's almost right there together. The seasons of prayer on Friday night, that's an example. So I encourage you. Now, I'm going to preach a whole message on seasons of prayer, so I'm not going to preach it tonight. But I encourage you, you know, the fall, you know, New Year's coming up, you know, Easter, Lent, you know, going up to Passover, Good Friday, Passion Week, on your birthday, before your birthday, on your children's birthday, those that you want to see the children saved, take their birthday and spend 30 minutes praying for them that they may be saved. You know, it's called focus your prayers. Listen, we can focus the beams of the sun and create a forest fire. We can focus prayer, and it's not a legalistic thing. It's not a abracadabra, I'm going to make God do it, but it is a focused season of prayer. There's scriptures of that. There's examples of that in the Word of God. So what season of prayer should you think about doing? Maybe you should take 7 days and pray an hour, or 7 days and do 15 minutes, you know, whatever. And that's another thing. Season of prayer is the timing of prayer. So how much time does it take to pray? Well, just half. He knows our thought before we think it. Let's start to just the thinking of prayer. You can think a prayer. You can whisper a prayer. You can be talking to somebody and something will come to your mind and you can say, oh God, do something. Give me wisdom to help answer. Have you ever been talking to somebody and they're really pouring out their soul? And you're standing there and you're like, oh my God, tell me what to say now. Do you think God doesn't hear that? Of course he does. Here's a good thing. He knows what we have need of, what? Before we ask. Somebody ought to celebrate God on that. Well, he knows before I even ask, before I even think it. Well, there's the thought of prayer. Then there's, you know, prayers that I really feel like in my personal life, there needs to be focused times of prayer, and I take it in chunks of weeks, because I can't get up here and say, I'm going to pray 30 minutes every single day of the week, or I'm going to pray an hour every single day of the week, or I'm going to pray 15 minutes every single day of the week. There are just some days that are full from beginning to end. But I can tell you this, I am going to pray every day. Now that's not, please understand, I'm going to pray every day, but I'm talking about setting aside a time, shutting the door. What does that scripture say? Going into your closet and praying. So Why don't you think about that in the upcoming week, I'll take 3 days and go to my prayer closet and pray for maybe 20 minutes, 30 minutes. Start out easy. Don't start out saying, I'm going to pray for 6 hours. You know, don't come out and say, whenever we do 21-day fasts, invariably somebody comes up and says, I'm going to fast all 21 days fully. And I'm like, no, you're not. You're not. Now, Pastor Jerry might, because he's a general. Amen. I might, because I've done fasting. I've fasted many days before. Brother Elam, some of you great saints, you might. Now, if you tell me you're going to fast 21 days, I know it's on. But a lot of times, younger Christians who are not really stable, hey, look, if they can't half make it to prayer meeting, they're not going to fast 21 days. Got to get a witness out there. So don't start out hard. You know, set some markers there and say, you know, 30 minutes a day for 21 days to me is challenging, but it wasn't so much that I couldn't do it. And so there are seasons of prayer. We're going to talk about that. There's corporate prayer. Somebody say corporate prayer. Okay, go to Acts chapter 4 and verse 31. Acts chapter 4 and verse 31. Somebody say seasons of prayer. That is specific times, specific places, specific reasons. Specific times, specific places, specific reasons. There's a season of prayer. And I'll talk to you about, because there's a lot more on the seasons of prayer. We'll give you examples, give you principles and things like that. Acts chapter 4, verse 31. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together. They were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness. Somebody say corporate prayer. Corporate prayer is when more than one prays, and more than likely it's when a church comes together and pray. See, there is my personal prayer time between me and the Lord. But then there's that corporate prayer time with us. And when we come together in prayer, something happens corporately. There's a corporate anointing. There's a corporate blessing. And in this scripture, the place was shaken, and they were all, somebody say, all filled. Go over to Acts chapter 12, verse 5. So corporate prayer. When Franklin Graham, the son of Billy Graham, when he went to every state capital in the United States of America and called a prayer meeting. When he came to Raleigh, North Carolina, I was scheduled to work. I was sitting over there in that chair, and my coworker, who's no longer there, asked, could he switch with me? And it was an answer to prayer, because I really wanted to go. I was like, yes, I can switch with you. And it paved the way for me to go. And we didn't sit down. We didn't have dinner on the grounds. We didn't have a long, lengthy sermon, an exposition of the 48th chapter of Ezekiel's prophecy of the second millennial temple. We didn't go through all of that. All right. Nothing wrong with that, by the way. It's very fascinating. But he stood up on the steps of the old legislative building there, and he led. And there was several thousand people there, and we prayed. And I mean, I remember standing next to an African-American couple and different races and Hispanics. And I remember us praying. Now, it wasn't hard praying. It wasn't screaming prayers, but it was genuine prayers of God's people saying, Lord, have mercy on our country. And I'll tell you, the prayers on those Capitol steps turned that election at 11 o'clock Eastern Standard Time. And we have the president that we have because God heard the honest prayers of his people. And I believe he's calling another prayer meeting on September the 26th. I believe it's in Washington. And I highly doubt I'm going to be able to go. That's just a big trip. I may try. I went to Washington, D.C. last year on our 25th wedding anniversary. And if at all possible I can go, I certainly am going to try to go. Because corporate prayer makes a difference. Peter was kept in prison, but prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God. Get your name on the prayer list. I take the prayer list to my prayer times, and I'll call out the names on that prayer list. We hold those connection cards up. Corporate prayer, having more people praying doesn't mean God can't hear the prayer of one person, but when two or three agree as touching any one thing, it shall be done. Amen. So I'm going to do a whole sermon on that. Then I'm going to talk, Sister Darnell, I'm on the frequency of prayer. And this kind of ties in with the seasons of prayer. Like, how many times do you pray in a day, in a week, in a month, or in a year? How many times do you pray? So what is your frequency of prayer? And I mean not just your thought prayers, not just your blessing prayers, but do you have blocked out times of prayer in your normal work week, more than just 5 or 10 minutes? Frequency. So how often should I pray or have set aside times of prayer? And then, Sister Darnell, the intensity of prayer. I want to do a whole message on the intensity of prayer. So God hears the whisper. Yes, he does. Oh, Jesus, please help me. But there are times in the scripture where we need to cry out in our prayers. Do you know one of the terms of prayer is crying out to God? This is when you get intense. This is when you mean business. This is when you lift up your voice. And I like to pray in my car. Because we have a, you know, Darnell, she's doing her work in the house or whatever, and I can shut the door to my office or I can shut the door to my reading room. But when I get in my car, I can call out to the top of my lungs if I get in a crazy mood or if me and the devil get entangled a little bit or if I get a real big blessing. I remember last Wednesday, and here's another thing. Praying in the car is acceptable. So I started praying. I went down to Greenville to see Sister Margaret, Brother Bird's widow. By the way, she really needs your prayers. Her health is declining. And she's 87 years of age. She looks like she's 77. She's always looked younger. But I remember I was coming home and I was just praying. And man, I got in a streak of glory. Somewhere on Highway 264. And I started, and this is amazing. I started speaking in tongues, I bet for probably 5 to 8 minutes. And I almost couldn't stop. It was just, and I remember I was coming around Lipscomb Road around that food line. And I was just speaking in tongues, you know. And I'm not saying that again to make me look like I'm some holy saint. I'm just a child of God talking to my Father. And man, intensity came on, and you know, God hears the small, humble prayer of his people. But there are some times when in the bottom of our spirits, we need to give it all we got. And I'll tell you what, crying out to God will move the hand of God. Crying out to God. I'm crying out to God for my country. I'm telling you, if this election goes the wrong way, we are about to hit it as far as persecution and as far as sin and degradation. We have got to cry out to God. Now, when Franklin Graham gathers in Washington, D.C. this time, I hope we tear loose and really get to praying up there. Because what Washington needs is not another politician, not another idea. We need the people of God to cry out and have mercy upon this nation. And listen, when I think about my lost family, I cry out to God. Lord, don't you see them, their hearts beating? Don't you see them before the lake of fire? And cry out to God with intensity when somebody's sick. So the intensity of prayer. And then what about the prayer journal? Somebody say prayer journal. Do you have a prayer journal? Now, I used to did not have it until I heard a preacher, Jim Whitfield. Some of you may know him. He used to be our bishop. And he talked about having a prayer journal. And I just thought that was the oddest thing. Because when I get to pray, I'll have my Bible, yeah. But I'll just get, oh, God, do this. God, do that. God, blah, 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 blah. Amen. And I'd go on about my day. But I began to realize that it's a good thing to write down the date and the time of my prayer. So I begin my prayer time by saying September 9th, 2020, 6 o'clock p.m. or whenever it is. And then I'll, and this is another part of my kaleidoscope, but I always pray through a psalm or read a psalm after I pray. The psalms are important. They are where you are. People talking about, one preacher just irks me every time I hear it. Talking about, we don't need the Old Testament anymore. Are you kidding me? Of course we need the Old Testament. Well, it's not the same God. He is the same God from Genesis 1 to Revelation. Well, he was a strong, angry God. He's a strong, angry God in the New Testament. Did you not read about Sapphira and Ananias who got killed for holding back part of the offering? God's just been merciful and hadn't let loose like we deserve. But he's still the same God. And it's not that he gets mad. He has a righteous indignation. He has a right to be upset because of the things, the just, that's a great word. So understand that the Psalms are important. And so I will put the day. Now, sometimes I won't put anything. I won't write down anything. But every now and then when I'm praying, something will come to my mind, some direction from the Lord, some promise, some thought will come to me and it'll hit me like lightning. And I'll start, because I do it, and I'll tell you how I do it. I do it on my phone. I do it on my phone. My phone's over there. But I used to do it on paper. I used to have a sheet of paper, a notebook, or whatever. I cannot keep up with paper. Do not give me a sheet of paper. If you give me a sheet of paper, it'll be forever gone. I promise you. I cannot handle paper. It will get lost on my desk. Now, I love your papers. If you give me a paper, and I'll file it eventually. It'll get filed, and I'll look at it. I'm not telling you it's not worth anything. I'm not telling you that it's not got good stuff. But if I need it, and if it comes to my mind, if it's not on my notes, and I'm talking about in my phone app, then I'm probably not going to get the benefit from it versus it being filed in a file cabinet. What if I'm 100 miles away, and that paper's up there on my desk? Now, the paper's good. I'm not telling you not to do it. But when you give me that paper, I need to make sure I can scan it and recall it when I need it. I know most of y'all over 70 in here tonight. So please, you may still use paper, okay? You may, but at least do a composition book, okay? Go down to the Dollar General and get you those composition books with the black and white dots on the front. Y'all know what I'm talking about. That's how I started, Pastor. I just, in 2010, I got a prayer journal, a composition book, cost a buck. And I'd go through the dates. And then I'd write down whatever came to my mind for that day. I'd underline it. And then I'd have the next day. And then the next day. And then the next day. And so now I can pull up that composition from 2010 and flip through. Ooh. That came to my mind. I forgot about that. And all of a sudden, I get a fresh blessing. But if I hadn't written it down, it'd been forever gone, wouldn't it? And so I filled almost two of those compositions. And then that's when I went to the app. So I have what's called OneNote. Or you can download Evernote. Or if you have an iPhone, you can have Notes. But be careful. Make sure whatever you put on your phone or make sure whatever you put on your tablet, make sure it is backed up to a cloud so that if it crashes, you don't lose your notes. If you don't know how to do that, then let me know and I can help you do that. But somebody say prayer journal. Write down, just log your prayer time. It's almost like going to God's house, writing down that I'm there. If something comes in your mind, some scripture, write it down, and you will be amazed at the journey of how God has led you and touched you and promised you. See, he's given me promises that I've written down that I know came from the Lord. And then when things get tough and when things don't look like they're happening, I can go back and say, there it is. God's faithful. Amen? Oh, write it down. Write it down. Thank the Lord. Write it down. Write it down. You know, I want to talk to you about the prayer of Jabez in 1 Chronicles 4, 9 through 10. And I'm going to close for tonight. And Jabez was more honorable than his brethren. And his mother called him Jabez, saying, because I bear him with sorrow. And Jabez called upon the name of the God of Israel, saying, "Oh, that you would bless me and indeed and enlarge my territory, that your hand might be with me, that thou wouldest keep me from evil, that it may not grieve me." And God granted him that which he requested. So, and probably some of the messages I'm going to do, I'm going to be talking to you about the prayer of Jabez. We can look at prayers in the Bible. We can look at different prayers in the Bible and learn how to pray. Can I get an amen out there? So, the prayer of Jabez is a powerful prayer. "Oh, that you would bless me indeed, that you would enlarge my territory." Now, you might read that and think that's an awfully selfish prayer. Oh, no, it's not. I boldly ask for God's blessing. I boldly ask for God to send prosperity now. Not just material prosperity. I'm talking about spiritual prosperity. "Hey, beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest be in health and prosper even as your soul prospers." So that's another aspect of prayer, is praying the scriptures. I've already mentioned that last week, so I'm not going to repeat it now. But praying the scriptures. We're going to look at the prayer of Jabez. We're going to look at Jesus' high priestly prayer. He prays five things for us. He prays for our preservation. "Lord, that you would keep them." He prays for our unification, that they may be one. He prays for our joy or our exaltation, that they may have, that joy may be fulfilled in them. He prays for our sanctification. "Lord, keep them clean." He prays for our dedication, that we may tell this world. Those five things that the Lord prayed for us in John 17 is a great way to enhance your own prayer life. "Lord, keep me. Lord, help me to be at one with my brother. Help me to forgive. Lord, help me to walk in joy. Clean me. Keep me clean. And Lord, help me to be a witness that the world may know others through your servant." We've already mentioned the early church in prayer. How about Moses' tent of meeting? Did you know that Moses was a great man of prayer? Now I'll tell you, when I read through the book of Exodus and I read the relationship that Moses had with God, it just makes me hungry. It just baffles me that Moses literally saw the glory of God so much that his face shone. There's been some people that I've known throughout my Christian life that their countenance just had a godly glow about them. You know what I'm talking about? Have you ever seen anybody like that? You knew that. Well, one example is Elmer Mooring. He is used to pastor over at Spring Hope Pentecost Onus. Used to pastor Bailey, which is now Independence Church. But you just be around him, and he just had a glow about him because he was a man of prayer. You see, I'm going to close with this. Really, the heart of the matter is that prayer is a two-way conversation. If you're on the internet, this is for the younger ones, you have upload speed and download speed. Maybe you don't realize it, but when you're on the internet, you are sending information and you are receiving information. Now, if you got slow internet and you click on a website and it waits and waits and waits, it means there's something slowing it down. Maybe there's a lot of traffic or whatever. But when you're on high-speed internet, that means you're sending information, but you're also receiving it. And I want you to know that that is the way prayer is. We're sending prayers to God, but he's also sending answers back to us. And it's a two-way conversation. In 2 Samuel chapter 7 and verse 5. Can you just put that one scripture up? If you can't, that's fine. "Go and tell my servant David." Now go to think of that. Go tell my, God said, tell David this. Now go to 2 Samuel chapter 7 and verse 18. That same chapter, go down to verse 18. So verse 5, God's talking to David. Now go to verse 18. Let me know when you got it. "Then went King David in and sat before the Lord, and he said." So I'm going to do a sermon on that. Probably might even be next Wednesday night. Prayer, a two-way conversation. I'm going to close with this, but I just want to put it out there for you. When we go back to verse 5, I counted it. It was 367 words that God spoke to David. The download. Now, if you go to verse 18, when David spoke to God, I counted, and would you believe, it was 364 words. Can you believe that? God spoke 360 words to David. David spoke 360 words to God. Folks, God wants to talk to you. And if we'll listen, and prayer is not about just, oh, give me, give me, give me. My name is Jimmy. Amen. Prayer is about loving him, worship him, praying for others. Prayer is not a drudgery, but it can be a delight. It can be as refreshing as looking at a kaleidoscope at those beautiful colors. Would you stand with me tonight? Now, the greatest problem with prayer is not unanswered prayer, but an offered prayer. So tonight, I want us to pray. I just want you to bow your heads, and I'm going to go over to the pen, and the pastor can come on and dismiss as he leads. But Heavenly Father, we just come tonight, and we do want to talk with you. We want to pray about our praying. There are burdens that we need lifted, Father. There are situations that we can't handle. You love us with an everlasting love, and you call us. And I just pray, God, just give us, teach us to pray. Teach us to pray, Lord. Lord, teach us to pray those short prayers, but teach us to pray in seasons of prayer. Teach us to pray with faith, nothing wavering. Teach us to pray, God, with expectation. Teach us to pray in intensity, God, to lift up our voice, to call out to you when so much is at stake. And Lord, let it be a two-way conversation. Lord, speak. Somebody just lift your hands up and say, speak, Lord. Speak, Lord. What are you saying to me tonight, Lord? I want to hear from the Lord tonight. How great is our God. Sing with me. How great is our God. Oh, see how great is our God. How great is our God. Sing with me how great. Yeah, no, we'll see. How great is our God.
I heard the Lord whisper to me. I want to go back and pull the sheet to make sure I had it right, this part of it. But he whispered a scripture to me. But we begin on this hour that changes the world by praise and worship.
Yes, amen.
And we end with praise.
Amen.
This scripture right here changed my life, my prayer life forever. It's Psalms 37. If you could pull up Psalms 37, verse 3. I'll start reading there, but I want you to see it. Psalms 37, verse 3. It says, trust in the Lord and do good. So shall I dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Here's the key. The next verse, verse 4. Delight thyself also in the Lord. He shall give thee the desires of thine heart. That's that element of praise that we begin with.
Yes.
That element of praise that we finish with. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Commit thy ways unto the Lord. Trust also in him. He shall bring it to pass. Sounds like David has been in a prayer season to me. He shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light, and thy judgment as the noonday. And verse 7 is so powerful. Rest in the Lord.
Yes.
And wait patiently for him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in the way, because of the man who doeth wicked devices to pass. Just rest in the Lord. But the key to a real powerful prayer life is to delight yourself in the Lord. If you will enter in and praise and worship, all these aspects of prayer that I found in my own devotion and getting things from God, once you make that petition, start praising him. Start adoring him. Give him adoration. And when I was a young Christian, I really honed in on that. He shall give you the desires of your heart. And I had a lot of things I needed. And I was praying. I was praying those prayers of desperation and those effectual, fervent prayers. And my prayers were thundering out to God. I needed an awful lot of things, but I found out that delight yourself in the Lord. He'll give you the desires of your heart. As you start delighting yourself in God, in the world of prayer, reading your Bible, meditation, just make it a habit of, I try to train myself every 15 minutes. You don't know it if you're with me, but I'll be talking to God. I'll be rehearsing a scripture. I did that in the business world. If I could do that in the business world with the demands that I had as purchasing manager, I promise you, I can do that while I'm talking to you. I'll just go back and talk to the Lord. But delight thyself also in the Lord. He shall give thee the desires of thy heart. What I found out was he gave me a lot of the things I was asking for. But he began to put his desires into my heart.
That's right.
And that is the greatest aspect of delighting yourself in the Lord. Because once you start praising him, guess what? He will give you the desires of your heart, the desires that he wants in your heart. He will place them there. And then you will find yourself walking in the will of God. Not the good, not the acceptable, but the perfect will of God. As you delight yourself in the Lord, he will direct your paths. But I love that, starting out with praise and worship, and then everything we go through in this season of prayer, whether it's an hour or 30 minutes or whatever, when we finish it, we praise him. Sing it, how great is our God.
Name above all names, worthy of all.
We praise you, Lord. Glory.
And my heart will sing, how great is our God.
You're a great God. You're a wonderful God. You're our heavenly Father.
How great.
We praise you. We love you.
Is our God.
Thank you for the blood. Thank you for this great salvation. Thank you for victory. Thank you for leading us. Thank you for guiding us. Thank you, O God. We just praise you.
How great.
So wonderful, so great, wonderful. Counselor, the mighty God, the everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace, of your kingdom that shall be no end. And we're in the kingdom. It's righteousness, peace, joy in the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Glory.
Oh, I will see how great.